Our authors have entitled our lesson, Ministry to Unbelievers, out of Romans chapter 15. We're going to look at verses 15 through 27. Ministry to unbelievers. Ministry to unbelievers. Paul has beautifully taken us through the book of Romans. Over in chapter 1, he reminded us that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. And then he began to take this trek through down the Roman road and take us into what salvation is all about. And then he showed us how we are to do it. And then he reminded us again that salvation is by faith in the death, resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he says this salvation can only come by faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. In other words, the gospel has got to be taught. The gospel has got to be preached, and it's got to be preached and taught to folk who need it. And anyone who does not know Jesus Christ needs the gospel. And then we concluded in chapter 11, and then verses chapters 12, 13, 14 told us how to apply that principles to live by and that sort of thing. If you're going to be a good carrier of the gospel, so there are some principles and precepts that you need to live by. And then we come to chapter 15. And then he says at the very beginning of that chapter 15, how we need to encourage one another. We need to be not concerned about ourselves. Paul reminds us in the very beginning of this chapter, Brother Key, that we are not the center of the universe, that God has not died and left you in charge, and that everything evolves around or revolves around you. He says he's getting ready to tell us something. And as a matter of fact, when you start reading Brother Key, the first few verses there of chapter 15, it says, oh, okay, Paul, I know you've been telling us how to live and all of that, but I do know the conclusion of this chapter. How do we get here? And Paul says, I needed to tell you that because you can do all the things in ministry that you're required to do, that you want to do. But if you only do what you want to do,
no, he doesn't.
We have a problem. Paul says that you're not in this for you. You're in this for someone else. You're not in this to be served. You are in this to serve. We are all ministers. Everybody on this Zoom who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior is a minister. And I told you last week, you don't have to wear a collar and a robe to be a minister. A minister is a servant, one who serves. And by today's title, Paul seems to indicate, Sister Mills, that there needs to be a ministry to unbelievers. See, you good old Christian folk here at Resurrection, y'all know how to do a ministry at Resurrection. But in order to do resurrecting ministry, you do that outside. The church gathered has some power. But the church scattered has much power. When we get in our little huddles and we say, it's just us and nobody else, we're just going to have a good old time. We're going to go to family church school. We're going to go to church. We're going to go to our ministry meetings. And we ain't going nowhere else. You have missed divine revelation. And I'm just the person to tell you that. Ain't got no shame in my game because I understand. I understand now. Paul has taken me. I understand chapter one. That is the power of God unto salvation. I understand how people, what people, that people need of the gospel. And they need the gospel because without the gospel, they can't be saved. And without salvation, they cannot have an eternal place with God. Understanding that, I too, like Paul, would desire that all be saved. That all who God has sovereignly elected are saved. And that we use every mechanism, every platform, every method within the will of God to get those folks saved. There has to be a strong passion and desire for ministry to unbelievers. And that's called missions. Let me just talk. Everybody on this line, we know, Brother Ford, you know that here at Resurrection, we are about mission. Our mission is saving the lost at any cost. But does that mean that some cost? Or does it mean any cost? Does that mean that we can save the world as long as we don't have to go nowhere? I want everybody saved, but we don't have to go nowhere. That doesn't make sense. And today's lesson is just about that. So, since we didn't have no mission volunteers, I'm going to missionally elect. Watch this, Brother Davis. Watch this one. I want you to watch this. This is a curveball. This is a curveball. Sister Mills, turn on your mic. Because since you're in missions, I know that you are probably the best person to teach this lesson today. So I'm going to turn off my mic and I'm going to ask you to share with us out of the depths of your heart this very passionate and powerful lesson today. Let me.
That definitely is a curveball.
Oh, okay.
And I think you can do that very well.
Yes.
Without me.
Sister Mills, if you would you read verse 15 for me as we talk about ministry to unbelievers? Verse 15 and 16, please, because we're going to run a little short on time, but it's all right.
Okay.
What I have
nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost.
Paul says that, first of all, you've got to understand the ministry that I've been called into, it's a privilege to have to do it. And the thing that's most important here is that he says the ministry is a privilege because it was a gift. In other words, God gave me this ministry. I don't do what I do out of any self-interest, is what Paul is saying, Brother Bogan. He's saying, I do it because God wills that I do it. God desires that I do it. God wants me to do it. And God has commanded me to do it. And he says, the more people, there in verse 16, Sister Mill, he's saying, the more people that God brings to me and I witness to them, I return, I act as a priest, I return an offering to him of folk who once were lost and now they are found. Oh, somebody need to get happy this morning. Because see, here at the Resurrection Baptist Church, that's what we're all about. You've got to understand our paradigm. Our model for years had been what we call in-house evangelism or internal evangelism. But the whole desire and output of internal evangelism is that we would move from the internal to the external. Brother Bogan, they don't hear me. Everybody knows that the agenda here at the evangelism process is Acts 1 and 8. But ye shall be, but when the power of the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall be witnesses to me where internally in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is at home. Then Judea, the community, and Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Paul says it starts at home, but it doesn't stay at home. Oh, somebody, I like that. In other words, it starts here because you want to evangelize everybody that's around you. You want to equip everybody that's around you to evangelize and then go out from there. Because that's what Christ commanded. And when you bring back, when you go out and offer it and souls get saved, it is an offering. It is an acceptable offering to God. And it's that has been set aside by the Holy Ghost. That's why he says you shall have power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you're going to go out. You're going to witness. You're going to do ministry. You know why? Because you are a minister. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what you do in your church. It should be done with a ministering spirit. As a matter of fact, Philippians 2 and 5 says that, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Christ did not come to be served. Christ came to serve. So verse 17, Sister Mills, and I'll conclude my remarks on this section.
I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God.
Paul has spent these three verses, 15, 16, and 17, trying to show you that first of all, it is a privilege. It's a gift that God has given, God has given you this. God has given you this. God has given you. In other words, it ain't yours. That's not your ministry. He just spent the first 14 verses telling you you need to encourage other folk that you're not the center of the universe, that it's not about you. It's all about, this is God's ministry. And so if it's God's ministry, we need to be doing what God has commanded us to do. God has not commanded us. He has not commanded us to just sit. He has saved us and commanded us to serve. We're to serve one another, we're to serve others. We're to serve one another and serve others. Pastor just got through in a reboot. See, even when Pastor tries to reboot his Wednesday night message and his son, you watch him today. He can't get away from this. I don't even know what his sermon is going to be. I know it's in a series about loss. I guarantee you he's going to hit this. Because on Wednesday night, did you notice Sister Mills? He talked about it's not about our preferences. Mm-hmm. It's about serving others. Mm-hmm. You don't have preferences when you serve others, when your whole attitude is about serving others. There are folk out there dying every day, eternally. In other words, they never accepted the gospel. They never received Jesus Christ. They're lost forever. That's a heavy burden on all of us, especially when we say we love everybody. This is not our ministry. This is a ministry that God has given to us. And so whatever it requires for you to do in order to give God glory, you ought to do it. And he's already told us one of the ways to give him glory, go out and witness to somebody else. Told us that back in chapter 9. Mm-hmm. Witness to the lost. He wants you to witness to unbelievers. See, the thing that's wrong with the churches, we have become sacred societies for snubbing our sinners. You know, we somehow think that good Christians must always disassociate from the lost. Good Christians hang around with the lost because good Christians know they ought to witness to the lost. The problem is not sinners sinning. The problem is that they don't know Jesus. Wait a minute. I better run that past you again. The problem is not with sinners sinning. That's not the problem. Because you sin, the difference is you know Jesus. The lost world sins and don't know Jesus. That should be a heavy burden on us. And how else will they know, Reverend Calvin, if we don't go tell them? How else will they know, Sister Bonds, if we don't go tell? Sister Hollis, tell me, how will they know if we don't tell them? When the scripture itself says, I know Bonds graduated, Hollis graduated, Mills graduated, Bogan has already been through the class that tells you that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't even been in evangelism, you've been in my class the last 3 months, you got to go tell somebody. You got to tell lost folk. That is our ministry. That's the ministry that you've been called into. I just shared a lesson with the deacons, Brother Ford and Brother Newsom, I see on the line, will attest to the fact that I shared with them out of Isaiah that you were created for this. You were made for this ministry, this ministry that takes the word to the lost and not just sit up and be spiritually distinct. You know, I want to be spiritually distinct. Yeah, he wants you to be spiritually distinct, but he doesn't want you socially segregated. You got to go out and mingle with folk. We got to get back with folk. Wait. Did y'all hear me? We got to get back to the folk. Lost folk. Zooming will help us. But he didn't call technology to the missions field. He called you and I. We need to be there. So if you can only get on the Zoom, get on the Zoom. But if you can walk next door, if you can go downtown, if you can go to Africa, if you can go to Haiti, and lost folk are there, you ought to go wherever lost folk are. Mm-hmm. That's when you're doing your ministry. That's when you're doing God's ministry. Because again, it's not your ministry. And you know what? If you're doing something in ministry, a lot of folk get caught up in church. I'll say this about church right quick. You know, I understand the dynamics of church. I've been in church long time, Sister Mills. Been in church a long time. And a lot of folk like to claim their ministry. Well, first of all, it's God's ministry. Folk and pastors, deacons, trustees, it's my ministry. No, it's God's ministry. Mm-hmm. And wherever God wants you to go, that's where you need to go. So if someone comes down and says, we need you to do this, so-and-so and so, don't say, oh, well, they sit me down. Because first,
You've been muted, Deacon Steve.
Who's that muted me? Don't do that again. Davies?
I didn't do it.
Mills, I'll fire all
I
of
you. I didn't y'all. Do it.
Don't have that. I need ministry. Y'all must be lost. Y'all put me on mute like that. You know?
I didn't do it.
I did it to myself. I'm sorry, guys. Okay. So I was saying here. Not about your ministry, not about you stepping down. If anything, it's about you stepping aside. Because God, remember the first three verses, God put it in your hands, Sister Mills. He puts in your hand, he can take out of your hand. Do what God wants you to do. And God will always want you to minister to the lost. Sister Mills, verse 18 and 19 for me, right quick.
For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Iconium. I have fully preached the gospel of Christ.
Okay, it's Illyricum.
Illyricum.
Okay, Illyricum, Sister Mills. Illyricum.
Illyricum.
It's an old Greek, doesn't exist now. It's now what? It's a region. Right now, it's modern day Bosnia or Yugoslavia. They're in that area. All right. Now, over in Illyricum. Some 1,200 miles, Sister Dorothy, this man has preached and taught the gospel. I mean, he's afraid of the antiquity times. I mean, he did some kind of traveling. 1,200, do you know what 1,200 miles is? 1,200 miles is like from San Antonio to my hometown in North Carolina. That's 1,200 miles. I mean, he did it. But you know what he said in verse 18 and 19? Just what I said previously. He said, here's what he said. He said, I'm there not going to take credit for stuff that was given to me. Whatever I've accomplished in ministry, it's been by the power of the Holy Ghost and Jesus Christ. He says, I've taught, I've preached, I performed miracles with signs and wonders throughout the region. I've preached Christ fully. Doesn't mean he preached to everybody in that region. Doesn't mean that he preached to every church. But in the key centers of that 1,200 mile stretch, Paul was about preaching the gospel. He was about doing ministry to unbelievers, the ministry that Jesus Christ had given him. Verse 20 and 21, Sister Mills.
Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand.
Now, I understand there might be people on the Zoom like Beverly Johnson, one of my evangelism graduates and instructors, that will say, now, wait a minute, Brother Sneed, What do you mean this is not Paul's ministry? He said it right there. Paul says, it's not my ministry, so I did what Christ wanted me to do. In verse 20, do you realize what he says here? He says, I went and preached and I taught to folk who needed to be preached and taught to, who had not heard of Jesus. In other words, I didn't go trying to steal other people's members. I didn't go trying to build up on the foundation that Peter did. You know, I wouldn't like them, the modern day preachers who want to, the people that they want to do is increase the membership in their church. Nah, Pastor Brown will tell you, we're looking for some folk who are unchurched. At the Resurrection Baptist Church, you can put the word out. We're looking for folk that are unchurched, folk who don't. But guess what? I guarantee you, you won't get them if you don't go get them.
Right.
Oh, y'all don't hear me. Fred, would you tell them what I said, Fred? Fred knows it. You got to go. In order to reach folk, you got to go. You can't sit where you are. You've got to go. And there are people that think that the lost should come to church. How ridiculous is that? Tell me one Bible scripture. Wait a minute. We got Davies on the line. We got George Stallings on the line. We got Armstead and Glenda Carter. We got Iris Harris on the line. Tell me one scripture where it says the law should come to church. No, you won't find it in your Bible. If you do, you put it there and it ain't a good Bible. Because God has not asked any lost person to come to church. He's asked you to come to church. Hebrews 10, 24-25, right, Sister Pillow? Yes. You know, forsake not the assembly of yourselves, you believers. But he ain't told no non-believers to come to church. So the only way you're going to reach non-believers is you got to go to them. Now, that's in the Bible. Mm. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Mark 15. You've got to go. And you've got to go because it's God's ministry that he's given to you to go and bring him acceptable offerings. And that's saved souls. You go get them and bring them to the church. No, but you want to huddle. And this has been a perfect time. You've had a year. Matter of fact, the grab folk, call them up on the Zoom. It's called easy evangelism. They call them on the phone, you know, because a lot of folk, they're intimidated by human flesh, Fred. They don't like, that's why they don't go nowhere. So it was easy. We should have a whole class full of graduates. As a matter of fact, all you got to do is present your credentials, even if you haven't gone through the evangelism process. Present your credentials to me, and I'll write a letter to you, to Pastor Brown, to tell him to commission you, because you've had a whole year to practice conversational evangelism. Verse 21 says, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. They that have not heard shall understand. Those are unbelievers. They will see Christ when they've heard from him. Y'all don't hear me? Paul is speaking out of experience here. Oh, don't shout, Sister Mills, don't shout. I need you to read. Don't read. Don't shout. Don't shout. Because here's what Paul said. Paul said, yeah, okay. I heard Christ before I saw him.
All right.
You know? So you've got to hear him. They need your voice. God saved you. Because there's someone ready to respond to your voice. And when you get out of self and saying, you know what? I'm going out here. I'm not doing it because you know, I'm getting paid, or I'll get famous, or they'll call me an evangelist. And you know, I'll get some good accolades from the pastor if I volunteer to go. No, I'm going because somebody needs to hear my voice articulate Romans 10, 9, Romans 10, 13, Romans 3, 21, Romans 3, 23, Romans 6, 23, Romans 1, 6, 6. They need to hear my voice coming down the Roman road. That's why I go. To hear the people. See, it's really good offering maturity sessions, lunch with the Lord, Wednesday night Bible study, family church school, ministry training. It's good to talk to folk who believe, but it's better to talk to folk who don't believe. There's a better return on the investment. When I talk to folk who believe, that's encouragement. That's motivational. When I talk to folk who don't believe, that's transformational. That's a changed life. A life that was on its way to hell and now has been redeemed and is on its way to glory. Sister Mill, verse 22.
For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you.
I've been so busy doing the ministry that God has given me to unbelievers. I have not had an opportunity to come to you rich bougie folk at Resurrection, but I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to get back. Sister Ogletree, I'm trying to get back. Brother McKee, I'm trying to get back. I'm trying to get back to my classroom. But you know what? Every time something has come up that's disrupted my plans, but here are my plans. Here, Paul. Here, a minister of the gospel, the apostle of all apostles. He's saying, I've done all of this. I've done it in the name of Jesus. I've done it for the glory of God. I've done it because it's God's ministry. God's ministry has become my ministry to the unbelievers. But I really want to come and just be with you folk. This great church at Rome. Here's my plans. Sister Mills, verse 23, 24.
But now, having no more places in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company.
But now, Sister Mill, next one more verse.
I'm sorry. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints.
You know, really want to get to see you guys, but here are my plans. I've exhausted this area some 1,200 miles. Preaching in church after church, preaching to believers after believers, preaching on the sidewalks, in the wilderness, from boats, from ship. I've done all of that, but I really want to come see you guys. I really do. And you know what? On my trip to Spain, I'm going to come see you. I'm going to come and see about this great church. Now, you got to go read 15, the first 14 verses of 15 to really understand Paul's relationship with the church at Rome. It's not a church that he started, but he's heard about the love and the caring that they have there in Rome, and he's encouraging them. You guys do all of this, but guess what? It seems to suggest here that if you do all that I've just shared with you this morning, Sister Pillows, when I get to Rome, you may be gone. Oh, y'all don't hear me. See, that's what Fred says, you know, by the time I come from Baltimore and Miami and I hit Albuquerque Resurrection, I really want to come back, and I want to share with you. I know you guys are steep, mature. I trusted you to go on with ministry there, but I'm coming back one day. But you know what? if you've heeded all that I've had to say, you may not even be there because you'll be gone. Y'all don't hear me. I'm having a good time with this morning. I am truly F-I-R-E-D fired up. I'm fired up because here at Resurrection, we are still equipping our saints to do the work of ministry, but we are also equipping folk to do the work of the worldwide mission, the critical mission, and that is to go into the entire world, teach, preach, baptize unbelievers. That's our mission. That's the ministry that God has given every one of us. Everyone on the Zoom call this morning. Sister Mills, if you would, take us through 26 and 27. You're muted. You're muted, Sister Mills. You're muted.
Sorry. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of the spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them at carnal things.
Paul says, I want you to get it right now. Don't just go running out there trying to feed spiritual food. He says, if you're going to do this ministry to unbelievers, Fred, take a little substantive, carnal food also. Take care of their needs. And he says, the reason I'm not coming to you right now, those poor saints who have been suffering, Sister Dolores, those poor saints have been suffering. You guys took up a contribution. I've got to make sure. Yes, I know the gospel is needed everywhere, but I've exhausted. I've done the missionary thing. I need to take some nurturing things, tangible things, the contributions that I've collected, I need to make sure it gets in the hands of those that really need it. Brother Key, it says, you can come all day long with all the scripture in the world. Nobody will ever care how much you know until they know how much you care. And it shows in your willingness to go out and meet the physical needs of other folk. Don't get so caught up that you can't think out, reach out and touch somebody physically. That's why in the missions, under the mission champion here at Resurrection, it was about going out, sharing the gospel, but also meeting need, helping people with homes, distributing food. You see, that's what Paul is talking about. Don't ever forget missions. Don't ever let, I understand that our missions pastor has retired, but there will be a replacement in this paradigm. It's gotta be. We gotta be about missions. Mm-hmm. You talk all the word you want to. It's very difficult to talk to a man with a hungry stomach. Very difficult. Give him some food and then give him some real food. Give him some food and then give him some spiritual food. And Paul says, that's exactly what I'm going to do. That my ministry is not myopic. It has a broad perspective. Takes care of both the spiritual and the physical needs. And he says, it hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers, also to minister unto them in carnal things. Let me show you Paul here is saying, because the gospel is for everyone, and the more folk we include in the big tent, Brother Bogan, the more Jew and Gentiles we put in the big tent, the more mutual benefit we all will get. These poor Jews who were willing to evangelize Gentiles are now benefiting from the relationship that they have, because those Gentiles have now become a part of the universal church, and the Gentiles had duckies. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Brother Bogan knows what I'm talking about. The Gentiles had moolah. The Gentiles had some money, and now they are benefiting from it. You don't know who you are witnessing to when you're witnessing to the lost. You may be witnessing to the very person. I remember Ralph West, Dr. Ralph West, you know, Church Without Walls. He was, when he was building his first church, he gave his testimony. Brother Bowman says that he prayed about it, and he says, I'm not going to spend more than $5 million on this facility, several years ago. And you know what, Fred? In one of their mission endeavors, they witness to a, we'll just call him an industrialist in the city of Houston. And that person got saved and gave them $5 million. Don't put any limits on God. And don't ever stop doing what God has called you to minister to do. And that is to minister to the lost. Take care of each other. Start at home. But you've got to move out. That's what this lesson is about today. It's simply about your ministry that God has called you to do. And to remind you that it's God's ministry, but you're to do it. And you're to do it because you're a part of the universal church. Jesus already did Christocentric ministry. He's called the church to do churchocentric ministry. And you are the church. But it's Jesus's church, not yours. Peace. See you guys next week.